I'm Tanzina Vega. Welcome back to The Takeaway. If you're one of the 211 million people in the United States who play video games, chances are you've come across something called a loot box, a virtual box filled with add-ons like weapons or a new outfit that you can get at a price. By the year 2022, loot boxes are expected to be a $50 billion industry, and that is a lot of loot. And it's drawing the attention of federal regulators. Here's Senator Maggie Hassan, a Democrat from New Hampshire, explaining loot boxes to members of the Federal Trade Commission at a hearing back in November.
Specifically, we discussed loot boxes, which allow in-game purchases with real currency for surprise winnings. And most of you agreed that this is an area that could use additional oversight by the FTC. Loot boxes are now endemic in the video game industry and are present in everything from casual smartphone games to the newest high-budget video game releases.
In addition to kids racking up expensive bills on their parents' credit cards, there's a growing body of evidence that suggests that these digital products are linked to problem gambling. It's a major concern considering the immense appeal video games hold over children.
Children may be particularly susceptible to engaging with these in-game purchases, which are often considered integral components of video games.
The FTC has promised to investigate the matter, but now another lawmaker is getting involved. Last week, freshman Senator Josh Hawley, a Republican from Missouri, proposed legislation that would ban video game makers from selling loot boxes to minors. Joining us now for more on this story is McKenna Kelly, a policy reporter for The Verge. McKenna, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much.
McKenna, if I'm playing a video game, right, and generally speaking, it's not a new concept to be able to buy something within the game. What makes these boxes different is that we don't know what we're buying.
Yeah, so you don't know what you're buying. This is something that's been happening for maybe a decade now in mobile games, things that you can buy on your phone for games that are normally pretty free. But they've moved into AAA studio, big budget games now. And basically, you're already paying $60 for the game. And then all of a sudden, they're asking you to buy these loot boxes with randomized things in them for more.
And do we know about how much on average whatever it is costs?
So one game that I play on my phone, I'm a really big fan of Nintendo's Animal Crossing franchise. That I can pay like a couple dollars, like $1 or $2, and I can get an item in that. But sometimes it ranks up, right? So it could be anywhere between like $1 and $5. It's mostly pocket change, but that's what makes them kind of addicting, right? So if you pay $1 and you don't get what you wanted, you can pay another dollar, and then all of a sudden you've spent $15, $20. In some cases, to the people that I've spoken to, they've spent hundreds and thousands of dollars because they just already have issues with gambling or impulse control. Now, it's hard to say if that is just a side effect of a different issue that they're having, whether that be some kind of anxiety or depression. At this point, it's really difficult to say whether or not it's gambling. Now, a lot of people say that it could be, but a big problem is that these companies have all the data, and it's proprietary data on who's spending how much money. So it's difficult for outside researchers to look into this and do an unbiased, independent review on whether these behaviors look like and resemble gambling.
Now, there's a bigger component to this, which is if that's my money, I know what the money is being spent on, right? But there are concerns about children buying these loot boxes. Tell us about those.
With children, of course, children just don't have their prefrontal cortex developed, right? They don't have the capability to really stop in some cases. And if you have your parents' credit card on your iPad, on your Xbox account, on your Nintendo Switch account, and you're just able to make these small purchases, you're just going to do them, right? And then it's even more difficult in some cases for parents when they get that bill to even get a refund, because those items that the children have already bought have already been used. It's not something that's easy, you know, to go back to the store and return.
There is legislation from Senator Josh Hawley. What is it proposing?
Josh Hawley, he's a freshman senator, right? And he has been looking into children's issues online. So he has a bill with Senator Ed Markey from Massachusetts where they want to have better privacy protections for children online. Now he's kind of moving into video games. And so this bill would basically ban the sale of loot boxes to anyone under the age of 18. And it would also ban them in children's games entirely. And then if this developer were to find out that a child was buying a loot box from them, they could face severe penalties from the Federal Trade Commission. Also, what the bill does is it bans pay-to-win mechanics. So those mechanics where you have to buy a loot box, buy a specific item in order to get further in the game, it would ban pay-to-win games that are targeted to children as well.
What about the industry itself, the video game industry? I mean, this is a billion-dollar industry, or billions of dollars annually. What are they saying about this? I imagine they're probably not very happy about the proposed legislation.
Right. So the Entertainment Software Association is the largest trade association for the video game industry, right? So if you go and you try to talk to Blizzard, or if you go and talk to Electronic Arts, EA, and you try to talk to these people at these companies, they're really, really quiet on loot boxes. And the ESA basically does all the talking for them. Back in the 90s, ESA started the ESRB, which is the ratings board for video games, after there was a threat from lawmakers in Congress to regulate video games based on them being too violent or not being suitable for children. So the industry has had a similar reaction before, where they've decided to self-regulate in order to get ahead of imposed legislation from lawmakers and the government. So we're not really seeing that right now. The ESA itself has really been fighting back on this idea that loot boxes are gambling, that loot boxes are bad for kids. So they're still in this aggressive lobbying space, and they really aren't taking a step forward to even look at themselves and self-regulate at this point.
And are there bigger systemic issues here other than loot boxes specifically that are really drawing concern?
So the microtransactions, that's just something that, even aside from children, people are really not happy about. So there was a video game that came out in late 2017. It was Star Wars Battlefront 2. It was a big blockbuster game that a lot of people were really excited to play. Now, the introduction of loot boxes in that game basically ruined the gameplay for a ton of people. And for a lot of the community, the gaming community, they're just upset and they feel like these developers are being incredibly greedy. I know whenever I write about loot boxes, there's always comments on it like, thank God there's this bill. Thank God something's happening. And this is just regular people, right? It's not just children. So the industry, a lot of people are really upset that the industry just might be being too greedy here.
McKenna Kelly is a policy reporter for The Verge. McKenna, thank you.
Hey, thanks so much.
And we reached out to the Entertainment Software Association for comment on Senator Hawley's proposed legislation. They gave us a statement from the group's acting president and CEO that said, quote, "We look forward to sharing with the senator the tools and information the industry already provides that keeps the control of in-game spending in parents' hands."
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.